We're on week 8, the final week of this message series that we've been entitling Better Together. And when we started this thing off many weeks ago, we found out that we were designed to be in relationship with both God and each other. We were made to relate. And the week after that, we found out that sometimes we take our relationships and we eclipse our relationship with God with our desire to have a relationship with each other. But we should really seek out relationships that help draw us closer to God. Then after that, we learned that great relationships aren't fight-free, but they actually fight right. And the way they do that is they work things out. And then we ask the question, why are we so quick to quit relationships? And we see that an example with Jesus and Peter and how he knew everything about Peter, yet he wasn't quick to quit Peter. In the same way, we should look at our relationships and say we're not going to be quick to quit them as well. Then we had a guest speaker who did an amazing job sharing with us what happens when we're in a relationship and we lose a loved one, and what is that like, and how should we deal with that? And he did an amazing job on that. And last week, or Easter Sunday, we found out that we should really try to make things right with our relationships just because God wanted to make things right with us, and that's why he sent his son, Jesus. And if you missed any of these past lessons, we record them. We put them on our website at findfocus.org. You can listen to them. You can catch up. We even include the notes, that the handouts that you get, and you can see that on our website. But today's focus, as we look at closing the series, is this. We're asking the question, do we really need friends? Do we really need friends? And if you came today looking for hope, for peace, for purpose, for focus to your life, then I've got some really good news. There is hope found in Jesus. And at the end of this message, I'm going to give you an opportunity to receive that hope today. I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 18. Today we're going to be reading out of the Message version. And so if you're using your digital Bible on your phone, you're just going to change the letters at the top to MSG, stands for Message. It'll be the translation that we're reading from today. Now, when he came in today, you should have received a bulletin. And if inside that bulletin, there's a half-page message notes where you can follow along with today's message. There's fill-in-the-blanks. There's going to be answers up on the screens. And we give this to you so that you can pay attention and follow along as we go this morning. But it's also a tool for you to use later on this week that we want you to read for yourself. We want you to find out, is this really what the Bible says? Don't just trust that pastor guy on the stage, you know, because he's short, so he must be wily, right? Oh, man. No. You know, I'm doing my best not to lead you astray, but it's also helpful to know for yourself, too. And so we provide everything of what we're doing and what we're sharing and what we're focusing on in God's Word. And we encourage you to, in the week, read for yourself the same passages. Look back over the notes and see if God's telling you the exact same thing. So we're reading just a simple verse today out of Proverbs chapter 18. We're doing verse 24 out of the Message translation. It says this. It's up on the screen. Friends come and friends go, but a true friend sticks by you like family. Let's pray. God, we're so thankful that we get to be with you this morning, that we get to dig into your word. And God, I pray that as we discover what it is you have to say to us about friendship, I pray that you speak to us on two levels, that you speak to our hearts and you would speak to our minds. God, don't let us leave today the same as when we came in. Challenge us today. May our relationships grow stronger from your word today. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. So this weekend, I was doing something that most of America and the whole world was doing. Spending over 3 hours in movie theater. You know what I'm talking about. So there's this part in the movie where it looked like all hope was lost and there was just a few guys left and they were about to be defeated and you're like, la, 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 right? If you haven't seen the movie. Because I'm about to share a spoiler. Oh! No, right? Man, we don't like it when our friends mess things up for us, right? I mean, with friends like these, who needs enemies? That's right. Who needs enemies? Oh, man. You know, Good friends are hard to find, and good friends are hard to meet, and good friends are hard to keep. And there's no better way to capture our struggle with finding good friends than by this little five-year-old boy who's got a great grasp on life. Let's see his struggles on friendship.
Why is it so hard making new friends? I mean, I have friends. I just think I outgrown them. Bobby's cool, but Bobby eats crayons. We're about to be five. You can't walk around with tickle-weed pink in your teeth. You gotta do better. I used to like Amanda until she said my hair looks crazy. These locks look better in your soul, Amanda. So I met this dude at the park, Garrett. Our mommy told us to stay in the sitting area. I like Star Wars, he likes Star Wars. Cool, this is my new bro. Then boom, the foolishness. He went to the grass area. I'm like, oh, you rebel, huh, Garrett? I'm not about that life. My mama don't play that.
Oh, man. My mama don't play that. Not about the rebel life. It's hard to make friends. But, you know, we're really asking, you know, as many of us. Let me just take a quick poll here. Who has ever struggled in the area of friendship? Yeah. It's something we try, and it seems like it's easier when you're a kid, and as you get older, it gets harder. And you can find yourself getting to the point of asking yourself this question. Do I really need friends? Do I really need friends? And the answer is yes. And we're going to explore over the next few moments on why the answer is yes, why we do need friends. And the first reason why we need friends is that we were designed not to be alone. We were designed to be with others. And we have this by looking way back at the beginning. And when God designed human beings and he designed the first one, he named him Adam. He said, Adam, here you are. He breathed life into him. He formed him from the clay of the earth. And he said, all this is yours. I'm giving you all these animals. Why don't you name them? Why don't you hang out with them? And Adam did just that. And he named all the animals. And I'm still wondering what he was thinking on a few of those names. But when God looked at Adam, and even amongst all the animals, God came up with the conclusion. He said, it's not good for man to be alone. That was God's logical deduction after seeing Adam by himself, saying, we got to do something about it. He needs other people, and they're excited too. They're happy to be better together. But he says, not good for man to be alone. And so he created woman. And the idea was that there was not just going to be one human being on this planet, but God designed it that there's going to be relationships and there was going to be friendships. And it was the way that we were designed. Of course, many of us operate by the bumper sticker that says, I've met enough humans to know I really like my dog. Right? Yeah. Oh, man. And yet, there's still something missing inside because we were designed to have friends. And some of us have this silent struggle going on where we've been hurt too many times by people who called themselves our friends that were like, it's not worth it anymore. I guess I'll just continue my existence all alone until the end because I don't want to be hurt anymore, right? But no matter what you decide in that area, the thing is, you were designed to have friends. You were designed to be social. I mean, the first social network ever created was human beings. God created it. We were made to be together. We were made to have friendships. It was what we were designed to do. And so what are good friends good for? Needing to borrow stuff, moving out of your house, talking about you behind your back, stabbing you in the back. What are they good for? Spoiling movies, right? Yeah. Eating your food. Taking you for granted. What are friends good for? You know what the number one thing friends are good for? They're good for helping you in your times of need. You know what? You don't realize how many friends you have or you don't have until you need to move. Right? Oh, yeah. I'm speaking truth here, right? Oh, yeah. We realize, wow, who do I have in my life? Who's there for me and who's not? And who can I buy off with a pizza, right? But here's the deal. Friends help us in times of needs. And when I think about friendships there in the Bible, there are all sorts of stories about friendship, but there's always one that sticks out to me as kind of like the best story about friendship. And it's in Jesus' time, and it's this situation or this story is talked about in 3 out of the 4 Gospels. So we're talking important here. These guys, we don't know their names, but there was 4 of them. There was 4 guys who had another friend, a 5th guy, who they saw needed help. This 5th friend had been paralyzed all his life. And we don't know, we're kind of filling in kind of the blanks, but here's what we do know, that on a particular day, they decided, you know what? You know what our friend needs? Our friend needs Jesus. And we heard that Jesus is close by. And so we're going to take our friend to Jesus. That we're going to take his mat, we're going to tie some ropes on it, we're going to figure this out, and we don't care how long it is, how far it's going to be, or how heavy he is or isn't, because, wow, we're talking paralyzed, he's dead weight. And they're carrying him. They say, we're taking him to Jesus. They found out what house Jesus was at, and they were excited because we're like, we know Jesus is the answer. Jesus is the only one, because we got a friend here who's in an only God situation. I can tell you that you can know just how good your friends are if when you are in an only God situation, if you have friends that say, hey, let me take you to Jesus. Let me take you to Jesus. Jesus is the answer. Jesus can help you. I may not have the words to say. I may not be able to console you just properly. I may not know what to do for you, but I do know Jesus is the answer. And so these 4 friends, they took their 5th friend, they took him to the house that they heard Jesus was going to be at. And when they got there, the house was packed. You see, word had gotten out that Jesus was there. And when Jesus is there, people want to be there. And they're like, hey, there were some there who really needed help from Jesus. There were some there who were just there because they got invited by somebody. And there were some there who were just gawking and saying, is Jesus this real deal? But no matter what reason they were there, they filled up the place. And these 4 guys could have said, well, we tried. You know, them getting in to see Jesus with their friend on the mat was probably just as hard as trying to get Avengers movie tickets on the opening weekend, if you didn't plan ahead. You know, I went there yesterday with my kids, and don't worry, I'm not going to share a spoiler. You're welcome. But I was actually surprised at how busy it wasn't. Okay? We're talking Marcus Theater here in Sun Prairie. It wasn't busy. There was nobody in line for the box office. And my son who works there, I said, wait, this is really weird. I mean, this is like big weekend. They're talking about breaking all the records of movie going. But there's no one in line for the box office. He said, because everyone's already bought all the seats. There's nothing left. Everyone who's coming planned ahead. And sure enough, as we're walking the halls, they have little TV screens that show how many seats are full in every theater. And sure enough, every single one of them, red, occupied. So, these guys could have stopped. But they weren't going to let a little obstacle of an overcrowded room stop them from bringing their friend to Jesus. They knew that Jesus was the answer for them. So what'd they do? They said, we got to find another way. These guys must have been Marines in another life because they were improvising, adapting, and overcoming. They were looking for another way to get to Jesus, and they were looking for other doors, other ways, and they found there's a way to get onto the roof, and the Bible describes that they got to the roof, they pulled away roof tiles and exposed a hole in the roof and decided they're going to take their friend and say, hey, we know you can't walk, but let's try rappelling. And they lowered him in to Jesus. And you got to imagine that no matter what Jesus was doing in that room, as soon as they started scraping away roof tiles, the meeting stopped. They had to have stopped. I mean, imagine for a moment right now, I'm talking to you, right? And all of a sudden, someone's banging on the roof. You'd be like, I wonder what that is. What's going on? And I mean, you'd be paying attention more to that than to me. And even if I tried really hard to keep on talking and act like that's not even happening up there, we'd be like, what is going on? And then when daylight starts coming, whoa! Do you realize that this is a rental, dude? And you're destroying it. And they made a hole right above where Jesus was. And everyone is paying attention to four guys who were really good friends to a fifth. He said, we're not stopping at anything because our friend needs Jesus. Only Jesus can help him. And they lowered him in front of Jesus. And Jesus could see the friend's faith, the faith they had. Spoiler alert, Jesus healed them. He got up. He didn't have to be hoisted back up the roof to the friends up there. But see, it wouldn't have happened if friends didn't care enough to say, we're taking you to Jesus. You see, friends help in times of need. That's what friends are for. Now, let me do another poll real quick. How many of you would say, I have some friends like those four friends in my life? I've got some friends like those four friends in my life. How many of you say, I wish I had some friends like those four friends in my life? Yeah. Friends who will be determined to help you in a time of need. You know, but it's hard to find friends. I heard it's even harder if you're an introvert. It's even harder if you're a nerd. Socially awkward. And there's no one more socially awkward than the main character of The Big Bang Theory, Sheldon Cooper, who came up with an algorithm to help make friends. He was determined to make a friend, and I got it for you. If we could just take some notes, here's how to make friends. Let's see.
It all started with a big bang.
Hey! I'm curious, in the How Well Do You Know Sheldon section, what do you put for his favorite amino acid?
Lysine.
Damn it, I had lysine and changed it.
Oh, good, you're just in time. I believe I've isolated the algorithm for making friends.
Sheldon, there is no algorithm for making friends.
Hear him out. If he's really onto something, we could open a booth at Comic-Con, make a fortune.
See, my initial approach to Kripke had the same deficiencies as those that plagued Stu the cockatoo when he was new at the zoo.
Stu the cockatoo?
Yes, he's new at the zoo.
It's a terrific book. I've distilled its essence into a simple flow chart that will guide me through the process.
Have you thought about putting him in a crate while you're out of the apartment?
Hello, Kripke. Yeah, Sheldon Cooper here. It occurred to me that you hadn't returned any of my calls because I hadn't offered any concrete suggestions for pursuing our friendship. Yeah, perhaps the two of us might share a meal together. Yeah, I see. Well, then perhaps you'd have time for a hot beverage. Popular choices include tea, coffee, cocoa. I see. No, wait, don't hang up yet. But what about a recreational activity? I bet we share some common interests. You tell me an interest of yours. Really? On actual horses? Tell me another interest of yours. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I have no desire to get in the water till I absolutely have to. Tell me another interest of yours.
Uh-oh, he's stuck in an infinite loop.
I can fix it.
It's interesting, but isn't ventriloquism by definition a solo activity? Yeah. I mean, tell me another interest of yours. Is there any chance you like monkeys? Yeah, what is wrong with you? Everybody likes monkeys. Hang on, Kripke. A loop counter and an escape to the least objectionable activity. Howard, that's brilliant. I'm surprised you saw that.
Gee, why can't Sheldon make friends?
All right, Kripke, that last interest strikes me as the least objectionable, and I would like to propose that we do that together. Tomorrow. Yes, I'll pay. All right, goodbye. All right. Time to learn rock climbing.
Oh, a formula for making friends. Wow. You know who modeled friendship the best? Jesus. You know, when he came to this planet, he was fully God and fully man at the same time, and he could have used his position of authority to lord it over all of the people in his life, but he chose not to. Instead, the Bible describes that what did Jesus do when he was on this planet? Well, there was always crowds he was talking to. There was always huge gatherings. I mean, they used the words crowds and they used the words multitudes, and sometimes they gave us numbers like 3,000 and 5,000, just counting the men, not the women and children. And I think they just lost count after a while. Just huge groups of people. But you know, just because you have a high count on your Facebook friends list doesn't mean that's how many friends you have, right? And just because Jesus had big crowds and multitudes didn't mean he had all those friends. But the Bible describes that even in that group, there was 120 that were really close. 120 that were really close to him. And then even of that 120, there was a point where he said, hey, I'm sending you guys on a missions trip and you're going to take nothing with you. And he picked 70 of these closest guys to send out two by two to different towns to say, hey, the kingdom of God is here. But even of that 70, as we read through the Gospels, we discover that Jesus spent most of his time with about 12 guys. We call them the apostles or the disciples, but really, they were Jesus' friends. He did life with them. He talked with them. He prayed with them. He ate with them. He traveled with them. They did ministry together. They served people together. I mean, they did life together. 12 guys. And even of the 12, he had three that were especially close, and he did extra things with these three. He spent extra time with these three, Peter, James, and John. And even of those three, we could really make the case that Peter was Jesus' BFF, the closest one to him, the one he invested in the most. And we learned just a few weeks ago that Jesus knew everything about Peter and all his mess ups and everything he was going to mess up, and still, he was his friend. He still was interested in a relationship with him. But Jesus modeled friendship. And he didn't have to. He considered them friends. You know, he considers you to be his friend as well. And how do we know that? If we were to read his words in John chapter 15, it says this. He was in the middle of talking to his friends. He says this, I've told you these things for a purpose, that my joy might be your joy and your joy wholly mature. Because this is my command. Love one another the way I loved you. This is the very best way to love. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are my friends when you do the things I command you. I'm no longer calling you servants because servants don't understand what their master is thinking and planning. No, I've named you friends because I've let you in on everything I've heard from the Father. He considers you his friend. You are Jesus' friend when you do what? When you obey his commands. It's more specifically his command to love one another. Put your life on the line for your friends. You are a friend of God. He wants to have a relationship with you. And if the God of the universe could take the time to be friends with us, what kind of model does that give us for doing our life with other people? Is that to say, hey, I've tried friendship, it didn't work out so well, so I'm going to quit it for the rest of my life? Well, I wouldn't want God looking at us that way, saying, hey, I tried having a relationship, a friendship with Tom, but Tom, whoa, he messed up. He betrayed me. He didn't believe. I mean, he talked about me behind my back, and, you know, I'm just done having a relationship with Tom or Sue or Kim or Abby or Christopher. Insert your own name. Can you imagine God saying that about us, saying, wow, you messed up, so you know what? You're not worth pursuing any more friendship with. But did he do that? No, he didn't. And I don't know about you, but I'm thankful he didn't. And if God can do that, if God can still seek us out for friendship, if God can still seek us out for a relationship, and he wants to know us, that he considers us friends, then surely we can use that model for our friendships. You know, if you don't remember anything else that I've said today, please forget I tried to spoil the movie for you. But I do want you to remember this. That just as Jesus considers us a friend, we should make friends with others. Since Jesus considers us friends, let's pursue friendships with others. Let's be friends. Let's not be like the friends who have hurt us, but let's set a new precedence here. Let's start something fresh. Let's fix relationships. Let's not let grudges and bygones, you know, just cloud our ability to have friends. But let's do it the way God would do it with us. Let's use Jesus as that model. Let's go get friends. And, you know, you can use the algorithm or you can try your own way to get friends. But I love the scripture that we read at the very beginning. And we read Proverbs 18:24. And we read it out of the Message translation. But if you were to take it and switch it, if you got your Bible app, go ahead and pull it out right now. We're looking at Proverbs 18:24. And I want you to switch the translation to the New King James Version, the NKJV. Okay? We're switching the translation. Same scripture, just translated a different way, New King James Version, NKJV. And here's what you're going to discover. You might want to even highlight and save it on your app. It says, a person with friends must first be friendly. To have friends, you've got to be a friend. You've got to be friendly. And we could sit back and say, well, no one wants to be my friend, so I guess I'll have no friends. You got to take that first step. Why? Because Jesus took that first step for you. God took that first step for you, towards you, to have a relationship with you. And so here's the deal. Take that first step. Do something. Make friends. Fix friendships. Go deeper with your friendships. Become a friend to your friends, like those four friends with the fifth friend. That sounds like a code or something, right? Make that your own algorithm. Now, whenever I think about friends, I think about a song. You know what song I'm talking about? Oh, I see some heads nodding. You've gotta. Oh, wow. Some of you can sing, and some of you can sing in the shower. You know, I love that song because of what it says about friendship, and I think it talks about just these same things, and I think if Jesus was here, he would say these same words to us that's in this song. And we could, there's lots of versions of this song, but I wanted to find the cutest version of the song. What better way than to have a song sung by a four-year-old? Okay? And while this little girl is singing this song to us, I want you to picture not one, but two things. picture God saying these words to you. You've got a friend in me. Yes, you've got a friend in me. And then I want you to picture, can I be a friend like this to somebody else? Let's watch this.
This is
You Got a Friend in Me.
Yep. By Claire and Dad.
By Claire and Dad.
One of our focuses here at Focus Church says this: don't do life alone. Welcome to the family. And that's what we are, a group of people on a journey following Jesus, trying to do it the way it was meant to be done. No one's perfect. We all have levels to grow. But we also are making friends and becoming family, because that's what Jesus modeled for us. That's what we're doing for others. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes at this time. I want you just to spend a moment just reflecting and thinking about where you stand in your friendships. And I was actually quite surprised when I asked the question, how many of you have been hurt by a friend? And almost every single person raised their hand. And I can understand, and you have every right to say, when I'm hurt, I don't want to be hurt anymore. But I'm telling you, it's the way God designed it. We are better together. And I think today, God wants to bring some healing to you. Some healing to your relationships. He may challenge you that there may be something that somebody you need to forgive. There may be somebody you need to reach out to. There may be somebody that you need to say I'm sorry to. And we've seen that over the course of this last 8 weeks that we've been looking at Better Together, of relationships getting better. Relationships being healed and relationships being restored, if we'll allow God to work in us and through us. And so I want to pray for you right now. And while I'm praying, I want you to talk to God too. God can hear your whispers and he can hear the thoughts in your head. But why don't you be real with him today and tell him where you stand with your friendships. maybe you're really alone. You're saying, God, I need friends and I would like some friends. Maybe you've been hurt and you need to forgive. Maybe you've hurt someone else and you need to apologize. Maybe you spent a long time just being by yourself saying it's not worth it and you're feeling challenged today that I need to step out. And as we have heard that example of those four friends in our existing relationships, can we get our friendship to that level? Where when we see a friend who's in an only God situation that will do whatever it takes to bring them to Jesus. So let's pray. God, thank you so much for considering us friends. You didn't have to, but you wanted to. You consider all those who obey your commands to be your friends. You did not treat us as servants to a master, but as friends who know what you're thinking and what you're doing and what you're about. And God, we sit here today, and even in this moment, each person in this room is talking to you and they're telling you what's really going on inside. They're being vulnerable with you. They're saying, God, I need your help in this area. Help me. Challenge me. Change me. Help me to find friends. Help me to be able to forgive. Help me to apologize. Help me to renew a friendship. Help me to go more than just superficial with my relationships, but to go deeper. Help me to be a friend like those four friends to the fifth friend who brought their friend to you that day. God, I pray that as we seek your help in the area of friendship, Lord, that friendships will grow. Lord, that this will be a place that they flourish, that people would come to be here and realize you don't have to be alone. And we understand it takes work and effort on our part, but God, if you can take time, if you can take the effort, if you can bring yourself, even when we mess up, to say, I still want to be your friend. God, then help us, give us the strength, give us the energy, give us the wherewithal to say, I'm going to pursue friendships. This is what I was designed for. This is what I was made for. This is what I have with God, and I'm going to have with others. Thank you for what you're doing in restoring and building up friendships. Thank you for showing us over these last 8 weeks that we are better together with each other and with you. We love you, God. In Jesus' name. And while our heads are still bowed and our eyes are closed, there's one more question I have for you. It's this. Are you a friend of God's? Do you have a relationship with Him? You know, you may have come today looking for hope and looking for peace and looking for purpose to your life and say, this is my last ditch effort. Is this real? And I've got some good news for you that what we're talking about here at Focus Church is not about rules and religion, but we're talking about a relationship, a friendship. We're talking that God wants to know you and He wants you to know Him. And He wants to give you hope and He wants to give you purpose and He wants to give direction. He wants to bring focus to your life. And you've reached a point where you've tried every which way you can. And if you're honest with yourself, you know that you're not good enough, you're not smart enough, you can't try hard enough. You're still going to mess up. You're still going to fall flat on your face. You're still going to come up short. And it's not just a flaw with you, but it's a flaw with all of us. The Bible describes we all fall short. We all have sinned. We have all messed up. We are all in need of a relationship with God, for a Savior, for forgiveness for what we've done wrong, for hope, for a relationship, God loved you this much that he sent his son to pay your price tag. He says, whoever believes in him, in me, would not perish or spend forever apart from God, but instead experience life everlasting with him. We're talking about a promise for our life now and our promise for forever to come. And this room is full of people who have experienced this and who have made that decision to say, I believe in God, I want you. And they've decided and made a decision for Jesus. And I've got good news. If you haven't done that or if you've strayed from that, today can be the day that you can say yes to God. So I'm going to ask you, would you like me to pray for you? If you would like today to be the day that you start over with God, you make a decision for him, just let me know as your pastor by just simply raising your hand right now. Let me pray for you. Just raise your hand. Thank you. I'm going to invite you to pray with me and just pray repeating after me. And I'm going to invite everyone to pray repeating after me. Let's do this together. Say, dear God, I'm sorry for trying to do it on my own. I realize I fall short to your standard. I believe you love me so much, you sent your son Jesus to pay the price for me. I want to live for you. Give me hope. Give me purpose. Bring focus to my life as I grow in my relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.